Our scripture reading from today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verses 26 to 27. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Even though we betray God, he gives us the humble invitation to behold our new family found in himself. There are a lot of facts that one can share about a situation or a person. And if you were to try to share with someone who had never heard of what happened to Jesus during the last week of his life, you would probably resort to telling the sequence of events that had happened. There is goodness and there is truth in that. But sometimes we are tempted to reduce the events of this week down to the knowledge of the head. Facts, maybe even using some quotes, but missing the invitation to know at a heart level. Jonathan Edwards, from his sermon, Divine and Supernatural Light, has a great illustration to make this point using honey. He says, your mind can know honey is sweet. People can tell you it's sweet. You've read books about it. But if you haven't actually tasted it, you know with your head, but not with your heart. When you actually taste it, you experience it for yourself. You know it in a full way, and you can know it in your heart. Edwards talks about how we know something is sweet. But in this week, as we hear the last words of Jesus, we are thinking about how to know something that is bitter. Death, agony, mourning. These would describe the way of Jesus from the point of his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And now we are hearing these words from his mouth while he's on the cross. And of the seven words that we heard spoken say in the English, perhaps the one that stands out the most is behold. We could even say it's something like see, come experience, take it all in. In his moment of bitterness, Jesus is presenting us a sweeter option. And we will see this beholding in three ways today. One, it's to behold a life, a physical life, without Jesus. And then secondly, beholding our new spiritual family. And lastly, beholding because he was betrayed. Beholding a life without Jesus. As we slow down the Holy Week narrative while we were watching the Son of God die a painful death, Jesus' words for today remind us of his humanity and his desire to establish new relationships through his death and resurrection. Again, the English translation of these two phrases is just seven words, but in it we see yet another aspect of Jesus' death that is meant to bring us to a place of contemplation and worship. There's a lot we don't know about the scene. It's pretty brief. What was Mary's understanding of the resurrection at this point? What does she know about these last moments before Jesus takes his last breath? We don't know exactly what Mary and the other women are thinking and feeling exactly, but we can imagine, just as we can imagine what it was like for any mother to watch the public torture and execution of her son. 17th century English Presbyterian minister Matthew Henry writes, his torments were her tortures. She was upon the rack while he was upon the cross, and her heart bled with his wounds. Perhaps for Mary, even these last words from her son directed her, were the final indication that he would die. That moment where she for sure realized it was going to happen. Sweet words of provision in the bitterness of death. And Jesus, in his agony and suffering, looked upon his mother with compassion and sought to care for her well-being and provision. Joseph, Jesus's father, was probably dead at this point. And as the oldest son, the care for his mother would have fallen on Jesus. With these statements, Jesus is announcing to those closest to him that his death is imminent. This is sort of a succinct and to the point, last will and testament on the only thing Jesus has left at this point, his relationships. Remind you, just verses before, even the clothes that he was wearing are being taken by his captors. They're given as a raffle prize to the lucky winner. Jesus was naked. All that he had left are those who love him. And he invites us to behold this new spiritual family. The result of Jesus seeking to care for his mother is a passing on of the relationship from teacher to disciple. In a simple way, this is yet another example of Jesus honoring the law, even with his dying breaths. Remember the fifth commandment given to the Israelites, honor thy father and thy mother. And the result of Jesus' obedience is a new spiritual family. For a woman in this society, Jesus is showing care by setting up provision for his mother. But is it just that? Is it just earthly provision? Or is it a foretaste of what would be completed as Jesus would die, would raise again, and would complete the process of our adoption as God's daughters and sons into the new family? Jesus is commissioning his disciple John to take care of his mother. It's his great commission in one way. But it's also giving us a picture of what this new family in Christ will look like. Family that is not formed biologically or ethnically, but one that is formed through identification with a common heavenly father, ushered into relationship by a heavenly king. We are meant to look at our spiritual family the same way Mary and John would have looked at each other. Provision from God for our good in this life. But as they would behold each other for the rest of their days, Mary and John would forever remember what it cost them to get it. It was the death of Jesus that brought them together as family. Mary knew that it was the shed blood of God's only begotten Son that sealed them together in their new spiritual family. But not just the blood that the Roman soldiers were responsible for, but also Mary and John themselves. To behold this new spiritual family, Jesus had to be betrayed. While we can see who is there at this moment of Jesus' last words, what is perhaps more telling is who is not there. In this endearing moment of Jesus entrusting his mother to his closest disciple, who is not there? Simply stated, everyone else. The list is long. Judas, the disciple who betrayed Jesus with a kiss. Peter, who had previously insisted that he would never deny Jesus and would follow him to imprisonment and even death, followed Jesus at a distance as far as the courtyard of the high priest. But even faced with the possibility of being outed as a disciple of Jesus, he couldn't go any further. Peter denied even knowing Jesus and withdrew. Even when Jesus prophesied at the Last Supper that all would fall away, and when the disciples scoffed at this idea later in the same night, when the chief priests and elders in the crowd came to arrest Jesus in the garden, the gospel writer Matthew tells us all the disciples left him and fled. And let us not forget about Jesus' biological brothers, those who could and should have been entrusted to the care of their mother, the ones whose names we would learn later on would become leaders in the early church. They are nowhere to be found at this moment. Even though this group of women and John are present now with Jesus, his position on the cross, alone on the cross, is a reminder that they had left him to his punishment as well. The need for Jesus to find provision and care for his mother is necessitated by his betrayal of those closest to him. His desolation is accompanied by his isolation. It's his betrayal that is leading to Mary and John's beholding. I mentioned the fifth commandment that Jesus was following with these last words, honoring his father and mother. The father that he is honoring is his heavenly father. But the mother is his earthly mother. The fifth commandment is actually one of a few of the Ten Commandments that give a positive reward for obedience. And it tells us more about what Jesus earned as a result of his faithfulness. Exodus 20:12 reads, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that your Lord God is giving you." The meaning of the Hebrew word used for long is meant to denote not merely the temporal length of time, but one that is filled with the Lord's presence and favor. But let's remember and behold what was Jesus' reward for his honoring his heavenly father and mother. He descended into hell. It's a very different kind of long day than what was promised in Exodus. As we're leading up to Good Friday, remember that because Jesus' reward was condemnation in hell, our reward is the Lord's presence and favor and our new spiritual family. And it's meant to be a constant reminder of God's provision until he returns. Don't just look up at this cross and remember the facts of the death and resurrection of Christ, but behold the man who has come for you. The provision that not just takes care of you in this life, but which ushers you into the life that is to come. Know, behold him, because he already knows and beholds you. God, we thank you for this time of being reminded of our new spiritual family. God, every time that we gather here, and even as we saw people walking in, stopping from their days to come together to be a family before you together, may we be encouraged. May we take heart. May we be humbled at what it cost you to do so, the blood of your son. And now, as we are led into a time of private reflection and prayer before you, talking to you, God, our heavenly Father, may you meet us in that place.